Frank spent an uncomfortable night on the trail, the first of what would turn out to be many. During the cold night, Frank awakened often to add wood to the small fire and to think. He didn't believe his son was kidnapped solely for ransom. $1 million was totally unrealistic. He believed, in part, Conrad was taken to pull Frank out of Durango. Ned Pine and Victor Van Bergen grabbed Conrad, knowing Frank would follow and they could kill him, or try to kill him. But if that was the case, then why did the trail suddenly split? Just maybe, Frank thought, the bodyguards in cahoots with the Pine and Van Bergen gangs got paid off and sent on their way. Lingering over coffee at his nooning, Frank decided that was it. He knew Pine and Van Bergen hated him to their cores. He knew both of them swore to kill him many times. He suspected they had killed Vivian, not just for the money Dutton surely paid them, but to get at him.
Sorry, bastards.
Frank poured another cup of coffee and munched on hard crackers.
Well, if you've done this to get me on your trail, boys, you damn sure succeeded.
Frank's horses suddenly became alert, their heads coming up, ears pricked in attention. Frank dropped his coffee cup and threw himself to one side. Rifle in hand, Frank rolled toward a fallen log and hunkered down behind the small protection. Frank was sure the shots came from one man, off to his left in a thicket of brush. He held his fire, wanting the sniper to expose himself. Frank waited, but no more shots came. A few minutes ticked past. Frank rolled from behind the protection of the log into the brush. No shots followed him. He slipped deeper into the brush and then into the timber, carefully working his way toward the thicket. He heard a slight noise and paused, listening intently. The faint sounds of a horse moving away reached him. Frank ran toward the fading sound, hoping to get in at least one shot. He was too late. The unknown sniper got away. He knelt down and inspected the hoof tracks. He could not tell if they were part of the group that left the tracks behind the cafe in town. It was still a mystery as to whether or not he was following the group holding his son. But he now suspected more than ever that he was. Frank mounted up and rode on. Before he went a mile, he came across the fresh tracks of his ambusher. The man had swung back onto the trail, traveling as fast as he could over the rough terrain. Frank had to give this situation some thought. The ambusher knew he was following, and also knew he wasn't going to stop following. That made Frank a very conspicuous target. What to do about that? He couldn't leave the trail. If he did, it might take him hours or days to pick it up. He might never pick it up. Frank shucked his rifle out of the saddle scabbard and started on, his rifle held in one hand across the saddle horn. He would ride a few hundred yards, then rein up and carefully check out all in front and behind him. It slowed him down, but helped keep him alive. He moved on another half a mile, he reckoned, and abruptly stopped when he saw where the sniper had reined up and sat his horse for a time. Frank carefully scanned the terrain in front of him, his gaze always returning to one spot about 500 yards in front of him and slightly to his right.
Right there is where I'd choose for an ambush. Perfect cover and elevation. I bet that's where the son of a bitch is.
Frank stepped his horse off the trail and into deeper timber. He ground-reined both animals and took off his spurs. Then he set out on foot, swinging wide so he could come up behind the ambusher. He hoped. As he drew ever closer, Frank caught the faint odor of tobacco. The man had built him a smoke while waiting, probably trying to steady his nerves for the kill. Frank was much more cautious now, for while he knew approximately where the shooter was, he wasn't sure of the exact spot. He could be anywhere along that ridge, in the brush and timber. From the sound of the rifle, he definitely wasn't shooting a .44 or a .44-40. Probably one of those fancy new bolt-action rifles with maybe one of those high-powered telescope things on it. That type of rifle would have a much more accurate range to it than Frank's .44-40. Definitely something to take into consideration. Shortly after he swung in behind the ridge and started working his way up, Frank caught a flash of color, a color that was out of place in the brush and timber.
There you are.
Frank had a shot, but chose not to take it. He wanted the ambusher alive, if possible, to answer some questions. Frank began slowly and furtively working his way up the ridge, utilizing every bit of cover. The ambusher came into clear view and never looked around to check behind him. Frank reached a spot about 25 yards behind the man with a clear shot of the fellow spun around and tried to shoot.
Don't move, partner. Don't do anything stupid or you're dead.
The man froze in place.
Morgan?
That's right.
Damn! Are you part engine?
No, just a man who stays alive by being real careful.
I believe it!
Lay the rifle down, slow.
The man carefully laid his expensive-looking rifle with a telescope sight on it on the ground.
Stand up and turn around. Do it real careful, no sudden moves.
The ambusher stood up slowly. He didn't turn around.
Are you gonna kill me, Morgan?
Not unless I have to.
I don't believe you!
Your choice, live or die, it's all up to you.
The man stood with his back to Frank, his hands at his side. He refused to turn around.
You're putting me on the spot, fella. You're playing a dangerous game.
What difference does it make? It's the only game in town.
For a fact.
I hear you're a fast gun, Morgan.
Fast doesn't have anything to do with this situation. I got a rifle pointed square at you.
Well now, if that's the case, I reckon that's true. I got me an idea. You wouldn't want to put that rifle down and let you and me go head-to-head at it, would you, Morgan? Just to see who's the fastest?
Why should I? I got nothing to prove, partner.
Don't interest you at all, huh, Morgan?
Not in the least.
Pity, since I think you've slowed down. Man gets to be your age, he loses a lot, including his nerve.
A man gets to be my age, he can tell a foolish idea when he hears one, partner.
You're a cool one, Morgan. But I think I have to try you anyway.
You truly are a fool.
Not the first time I've been called that.
It'll be the last.
Maybe.
The ambusher spun around, snaking his pistol from leather. Frank's bullet hit the ambusher in the shoulder and sat him down on the cold ground.
Damn! Ow!
That was a foolish move, partner.
Oh, you said I'm a fool! Oh.
He slowly lifted his six gun. Frank took careful aim with his rifle and put a bullet into the man's right arm. The pistol dropped from his fingers.
Damn!
You want to try for another bullet? Or for some conversation?
How about a doctor?
Can't help you there.
Oh, my shoulder's on fire.
Get used to it.
Oh, you trying to tell me I'm heading for the hellfires?
That's between you and whatever you call God.
I don't believe in none of that crap.
Your option.
Frank walked the distance between them and squatted down a few yards from the man.
You're not gonna make it, partner.
I know that, you son of a bitch.
You have a name?
Don't everybody? Charles Bowers.
Any kin?
No.
Where's your horse? I'll turn him loose.
Over yonder a ways. He's a good one. You ought to take him with you and sell him.
Only if you have a bill of sale.
Charles smiled.
That's what I figured. Where'd you steal him?
Didn't. Gang did somewheres. I don't rightly know where.
Pine and Van Bergen gangs?
Yeah.
What is this $1 million crap in return for Conrad Browning?
To get you to follow us and kill you.
And then what happens to Conrad?
He gets a bullet.
So Pine and Van Bergen never planned on collecting any ransom money?
Not a dime.
Where are they taking the boy?
West. Into the Badlands.
Into Ute country?
No, just north of there.
So I'm on the right track. Following the right bunch.
Yeah, why lie about it now?
How much of what you're telling me is the truth?
You figure it out, Drifter.
To hell with you, then. Die alone.
Where are you going?
Leaving.
You can just go to ride off and leave me here for the critters to eat on.
That's about it.
That ain't decent.
Neither are you.
All right.
All right, what?
Sit back down. I'll tell you everything I know. You're a sneaky bastard, Morgan.
Charles Bowers lay in a patch of snow, his shoulder painting crimson over the white canvas.
Nobody ever snuck up on me like that before.
There's first times for everything. Tell me where they took my boy and who has him. The trail split a few miles back and I need to know what tracks to follow. Where the hell are they taking my son? Don't lie to me or I'll find you and tie you down to make sure the critters get an easy meal.
Jesus, Morgan! Ned and his bunch have got him.
Where's Van Bergen?
They turned toward the river to throw off any pursuit if you or some posse from Durango was getting too close. Ned's being real careful about this, and so's Van Bergen. They know about your whole reputation.
Conrad's with Pine?
Yeah. Sam and Buster and Josh, too. And Mac and Curtis are riding rear guard. Arnie and Scott rode on ahead to get the cabin ready. Oh, they figured you'd be behind them all the way once you picked up their trail. Hell, they're expecting you to show up.
The cabin? What cabin?
It's an old hideout. Sits beside Stump Creek at the edge of the Badlands, way back in a box canyon. Ned's going to send somebody back to Durango to tell you where the ransom money is supposed to be dropped off.
Ned Pine's gotta be crazy. He knows I don't have that kind of money. Hell, all I'm gonna do is kill him and every one of his sidekicks.
It ain't gonna be as easy as you make it sound. They don't figure you've got big money. All Ned and Victor aim to do is kill you when you show up. They've got grudges against you from way back, and they won't rest easy till you're dead. Like I told you, it ain't gonna be easy getting close to them. They're gonna be ready for you.
Depends.
Depends on what?
On how mad I am when I get to that cabin.
Ah, there's too many of them, Morgan. One of them will get you before you reach the kid. Ned Pine's about as good with a gun as any man I ever saw. He's liable to kill you himself if the others don't forehand.
I wish him all the luck. I've been trying to quit the gunfighter's trade for several years. Then some bastard comes along like Ned Pine or Vic Van Bergen, and they won't let it rest. But I can promise you one thing.
What's that, Morgan?
Frank stared off at graying skies holding a promise of evening snow, a winter squall headed into the mountains. Frank glared down at Bowers.
I'll kill every last one of them. I've been getting some practice lately, and I can damn sure take down Ned Pine and his boys. One at a time, maybe, but I'll damn sure do it. Van Bergen don't worry me at all. He's yellow. He won't face me with a gun.
Everybody says the Drifter's past his prime, Morgan. I've heard it for years. He got too old to make it in this profession, and folks know it.
Not too old to catch a fool like you.